Okay, let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today into something, absolutely fundamental to how we connect as humans, but it often happens just beneath the surface, doesn't it? You sent us these really fascinating lecture notes packed with insights.
There's a lot in there.
So our mission today is basically to pull out the key ideas about communicating without using words and, get ready because this silent language, it's way more powerful and frankly more common than you might think.
Absolutely, it's everywhere.
I mean, we talk all the time, right? Using words, sentences. But what if, the majority of what we communicate and we actually understand from others isn't spoken at all? What if the real message, is often in the silence and the unspoken stuff?
Well, what's really fascinating here, and it's straight from those notes you shared, is just the sheer volume of it.
Okay.
It's estimated people use, get this, around 35% verbal communication daily. Only 35%.
Wow. Okay. So the rest?
The rest is a remarkable 65% nonverbal communication.
No, 65%. That's huge.
It is huge. And it really highlights something important the notes point out. While both verbal and nonverbal are types of communication, one's voice, the other's body signs, essentially they operate together. They're interwoven.
Right. So it's not like an either situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not one or the other. They work in tandem.
65% though. So if we're only tuning into the words, we're like missing almost two-thirds of the conversation.
Pretty much, yeah. And the notes, they make a pretty bold claim about this unspoken majority.
Oh yeah.
They actually call nonverbal communication the most powerful form.
The most powerful. Okay, why? What makes it so powerful?
Well, the thinking in the notes is that it helps shape the image others form of you, maybe even more than your carefully chosen words do.
Interesting.
And crucially, it allows you to express emotions and feelings, things that are really difficult, sometimes impossible, to capture accurately with just language.
Yeah, that makes sense. That reminds me of a quote highlighted in the notes from Peter F. Drucker.
Oh, the Drucker quote.
Yeah. The most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said. That quote, it hits differently when you realize 65% of communication might actually be what isn't being said verbally.
Precisely. And it gets even more interesting, doesn't it, when you factor in the believability aspect the notes bring up.
Believability? How so?
The notes state that nonverbal messages are usually considered more believable than verbal ones.
Okay, why do you think that is? Is it because, we feel we have less conscious control over them? Like a blush or a flinch feels more real than just saying something.
That seems to be the core idea.
Yeah.
Our nonverbals can sometimes, betray what our words might be trying to conceal.
Right. A contradiction.
Exactly. And that's why paying attention isn't just about getting more information. It's often about getting more truthful information, especially about someone's underlying feelings or attitudes.
Okay, so this silent, powerful, often more believable communication, how does it actually manifest? How do we see it? The notes break it down, right? Looking at different characteristics or forms,
They do. They mention intentional nonverbals first.
like pointing or clapping, smiling. Things you do on purpose.
Right. And then there are unintentional ones. The notes actually prompt you to think about examples in your own culture, things you might do without consciously deciding to send a message.
Ah, okay. And sometimes a single signal could be taken either way, right? Intentional or unintentional adds a layer of complexity.
Definitely. And the specific forms listed, those are really the channels through which this huge 65% flows.
Gotcha. Okay, so what are some of those forms? Like eye contact.
Yep, eye contact. The notes call it a key characteristic. Expresses so much without a single word.
And in American culture specifically, it's presented as showing respect, interest, that kind of thing.
And the notes even get you thinking about how eye contact can signal the very nature of a relationship.
Also.
Well, just think about how people who are close, friends or partners, might look at each other compared to how strangers do. It's different.
That's true. Then there are facial expressions. Also key characteristics, the notes say. Communicating really specific, often universal emotions. Happiness, sadness, anger, fear.
Our faces are like billboards constantly broadcasting.
Totally. And posture, how you carry yourself.
Another big one, the notes say posture tells a lot, indicating not just your current mood, but maybe even aspects of your personality.
They give examples, right? Like crossed arms, potentially meaning you're closed off, maybe defensive.
Exactly, or walking with your head down, avoiding eye contact that might indicate shyness. Our bodies really do tell a story.
Okay, what about touch? The notes mention haptics.
Haptics, yeah. Communicating through touch, used when you're actually in physical contact. Mm. The main example given is a handshake.
Ah, the handshake. So much packed into that one action, trying to build trust, introduce yourself.
It conveys confidence, intention, respect, or sometimes the lack thereof.
Right. And there are gestures.
Gestures, yes. Visible body actions. So movements of hands, face, other body parts that communicate a particular message.
Like waving hello or a thumbs up or, well, lots of things. Gestures loaded with meaning.
Mm-hmm. And finally, personal space.
Like a bubble.
Exactly. Your invisible bubble. The notes describe it as that space between you and others. You don't always think about it until someone kind of bumps into it or tries to enter it uninvited.
Right. Then you definitely notice it's a nonverbal cue about comfort levels, closeness in relationships.
Now, here's where navigating that big 65% gets, well, even trickier. The notes shift. Hmm. To illustrate how these signals, these nonverbal cues, they aren't universal.
Ah, the cultural aspect.
Exactly. They vary quite significantly around the world.
Which raises a huge question, doesn't it? How can you really understand someone's nonverbals if the meanings shift depending on where you are or who you're talking to?
It's a major challenge. Look at the specific examples provided in the notes. In Japan, bowing is crucial for respect when greeting. And there are even different angles of the bow for different levels of status or formality.
Wow. Okay. Detailed.
Then in China, the notes say people generally don't like being touched by strangers. Avoiding body contact is more the norm.
Which is quite different from, say.
Well, contrast it with Argentina, where a handshake and a nod show respect during greetings. Or India, where the namaste gesture, hands together, slight bow, is a very common and respectful greeting.
And then the example for the USA, quite informal, generally. Yeah. A handshake, maybe a smile, a hello.
Right. So these examples just hammer home that point. Interpreting nonverbals really requires cultural awareness.
Mm-hmm.
What seems polite in one culture could be awkward or even rude in another.
Yeah, you could easily misread a situation.
Definitely. And even putting culture aside for a moment, the notes bring up another challenge. Just basic understandability.
What do they mean by that?
Well, the notes state flatly, nonverbal communication must be understandable. But then they give this perfect example of potential ambiguity, which the chicken dance.
Oh, right. The creepy chicken dance. The notes call it an artistic form of NVC, but then admit, basically, no one knows what England's creaky chicken dance is trying to communicate.
Exactly. They suggest you might just grasp that they are happy, or maybe it's just
a good exercise.
Right. It's a great illustration that sometimes the message isn't clear, or the interpretation is super simple, like just happiness, or maybe the action serves a completely different purpose altogether.
So it's not always a straightforward signal-meaning relationship. There can be noise, confusion.
Absolutely. There's ambiguity baked in sometimes.
Okay. So given all of this complexity, the sheer volume of NVC, its power, the cultural differences,
yeah,
the potential for misunderstanding, what are the absolute must-remember takeaways from these notes? What's crucial?
The notes wrap up with some key remember points.
Yeah.
Really summarizing why getting a handle on NVC is so vital.
Okay, lay them on us.
First, and maybe this is the most important one, NVC is a primary way we communicate feelings and attitudes.
Mm.
More than your words, often it's your body language, your tone.
Mm.
Even though tone is vocal, it works nonverbally. Here, your expressions, they broadcast how you really feel.
Which loops right back to that believability factor, doesn't it?
Exactly.
If someone sighs and says, I'm fine, but their shoulders are slumped and they're avoiding eye contact, which message do you believe?
You usually believe the nonverbal, right?
Yeah.
And the notes also stress that NVC is critical all through relationships.
How so?
In starting them that first impression, in developing them that unspoken comfort or discomfort that builds, and even in ending them the distance that grows, the cues you send, nonverbal signals really build and reflect the state of a connection.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. And the last takeaway?
The last one kind of ties it all together. It's about how nonverbal messages interact with verbal ones.
Okay.
They can substitute for words like a wave instead of saying hello.
Right.
They can complement words nodding while you say yes. They can contradict words saying, sure, sounds great, with a flat tone and rolling your eyes.
Yeah, we've all seen that one.
They can repeat words saying, come over here, while also gesturing. They can regulate the flow of conversation using eye contact or posture to signal whose turn it is to talk. And they can accent or emphasize verbal messages, like pounding your fist on the table to stress a point.
Wow, so they're constantly dancing with our words in all these different ways.
It's this constant, really dynamic interplay between the spoken and the unspoken that makes human communication so incredibly rich and, yeah, complex.
Okay. Wow. So we've gone from just recognizing how much NBC there is, that huge 65%, to understanding its power, its believability. Then we looked at the forms like eye contact, posture, gestures, tackled the cultural variations, the ambiguity, and finally, how it all interacts with words. We've really dug into these notes.
Yeah, it really underscores just how much information is flying back and forth in every single interaction we have, way beyond just the dictionary definitions of the words we happen to use.
So the big question then is, what does all this mean for you listening right now? This stuff, nonverbal communication, it's happening constantly. Every conversation, every interaction you witness or participate in.
Which leads to maybe a final thought to tune on. If nonverbal messages usually are more believable than verbal ones, and they make up almost 2/3 of our daily communication, what might you be misunderstanding? Or what might you be failing to convey accurately yourself if you're not consciously paying attention to this silent language that both you and others are speaking all the time?
Yeah, it really makes you think about all the layers of meaning, doesn't it? Even in simple exchanges, how much trust or connection or maybe even misunderstanding might be brewing in that vast unspoken space between people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the next time you're talking with someone or even just watching people interact, try listening not just with your ears, listen with your eyes, with your whole awareness. Notice the nonverbal cues, the ones you send, the ones you receive. You might just find yourself navigating the world with a whole new level of understanding.
It's worth paying attention to.
Definitely. That's our deep dive for today.